Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're going to talk about Black Widow, her solo film from the MCU that was 14 months late. Let's go. Same as the last thing, folks. We're going to spoil the crap out of this movie.
Yes. If you have not watched Black Widow, you got two choices. You can listen, and we're going to talk about it freely, and we're going to spoil the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Or you can go listen to another podcast that you really appreciate, and come back to this, come back to us afterwards, because all we're going to do in this episode is talk about Black Widow. There's not going to be any trivia. There's not going to be any what you've been reading, yo.
Nada.
So it's all Black Widow. You know, of course, we get off topic a lot, so there's that. But it'll still be relevant after you've seen Black Widow.
For sure. Yeah, so 3, 2, 1, Black Widow is Iron Man.
Oh my God, I can't believe you spoiled that.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
Yeah.
First off, what did you think? Was this one was unique in that it was supposed to come out May 2020 and instead came out July 21.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I walking away from it, I was like, all right, I enjoyed it. I'll watch it again if I ever go through and watch everything. I don't know if I'm going to go out of my way to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it had, sorry, I'm hiccuping. I thought it had some moments that were like, this is kind of a nice farewell.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought that it had a lot of funny moments that I wasn't expecting. Like I mean, there was that woman, cause we watched it together, me and Alex, and our ladies and families and everything.
Yeah.
Torrance was there with his lady and, it was back in some woman in the back left thought this movie was hilarious.
Oh, I remember her.
She laughed at everything. Like Red Guardian would look, you know, just make a face and she would laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
Yeah, this was her type of comedy.
This woman loved it. So anyway, yeah. It was... No, I... Like I said, I didn't expect it. That was my first movie in like a year and a half in a movie theater.
I've watched a few before that, but yeah. It was the first big movie.
What were your thoughts?
I liked it. There were some more than a lot of movies, I feel like, MCU movies, I should say, there were liberties taken for sure that are way different from the comics, which I have to stop myself from being a comic book purist in the MCU, because we could do a whole podcast on changes from the comics. This is not Marvel 616.
Yeah.
This is Marvel 1999999. I might have put too many nines in there.
Did I catch a niner in there?
Yeah, there's a niner. There are some changes. We're going to talk about those changes. But one thing that I do like about this movie overall is that, and this has kind of been, I don't want to say controversial, but definitely talked about. This has been a, I would say maybe redemption. Maybe that's the wrong word. Let me tell you what I'm talking about, and maybe you can tweet at us what you would call this. This is a different step or a different direction taken for the character of Natasha Romanoff, especially in the arguably maybe slightly over-sexualized sense of the character that we've seen in the MCU thus far. If you think about it, like, they definitely had like some implied things going on in Iron Man 2 when she shows up and, you know, like, yes, if this was your last birthday, what would you do? She says, I would do anything I wanted to with anybody that I wanted to, you know, like obviously kind of they were leaning as hard into a steamy moment as they could with Tony Stark. And then she kind of has some love interest moments with Captain America and Winter Soldier and then Bruce Banner. And she's kind of just, for lack of a better way to describe it, been tossed around a little bit to the boy heroes in this thing. And not only does she finally get her own movie, but there's some girl power moments in it, which I personally am a fan of. Like, you can write girl characters and female characters without having to sexualize them or put them in a role of where they're falling in love with the straight white guy. Like, you know, simple as that. Like, I'm not trying to be a social justice warrior here or anything like that. I'm just saying that it's nice to see the character stand alone and not have to lean into her being an attractive woman for the movie to work. So in that regard, I feel like it was a little bit of a breath of fresh air, you know. Cool. So moving on from that, I thought it was cool. I think I want to jump straight into the Taskmaster thing.
Okay.
So that was the first one where I was trying to decide how I felt about it, and I think I've just landed on just neutral, kind of take it or leave it. They changed who Taskmaster was.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think this was a question Colby had on Instagram Live. He kind of wanted to know a little bit more about the Taskmaster thing and then also how they relate to another character, which we'll get to. But so in this movie, Taskmaster is actually the daughter of Dracov, which is the big bad boss in charge of the Red Room that trained all the Black Widows that Natasha came from, and her sister, Yelena, who was, by the way, incredible.
A huge fan. Not actual sister.
Right.
Right.
Her stepsister raised with.
Just like Red Guardian is not actually her father.
Or her lover, as we found out. Yeah. So that's more liberties that we'll talk about in a second. But so in the comics, Taskmaster's a guy, his name's Anthony Masters. He usually goes by Tony Masters, and he is just like a skilled tactician, criminal hitman who's been around in the MCU for a long time. So I think the thing that I have the most reservation about of them changing all that is that there's a lot of rich story to tell with that character, but at the same time, it just because it's, you know, somebody else, that it's a female in this character, doesn't mean they can't also tell those types of stories. But the context of it changes greatly, you know, like it was now the brainwashed daughter of Dracov who, you know, was doing this not on her own volition, mm-hmm. had the same power sets more or less, just kind of from a different thing. Like they were,
Neo'd into her.
Right.
Like the Matrix.
It wasn't like
something like that.
Yeah, basically, that's a good way to put it. They weren't like an actual power that she had. But I don't know. That was the one part that was enough of a change that I kept thinking about it during the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to decide before I left if I was even okay with it.
Yeah.
Not that it's, you know, who cares, you know, if I think it's cool or not.
I care.
Well, I think it was just fine. Yeah. You know, if I had any issues with it, and again, I don't want it to make it sound like I'm mad because it's a girl. I was just like, I don't know. It made me think about it more than I thought I would think about it, if that makes any sense. The powers were still there. It was still cool. Like, I guess we can kind of, like, while we're here, answer the question. Colby, how specifically did he ask that?
She said, what are the comparisons between Taskmaster's abilities and Shang-Chi's abilities?
Right. Okay, so I can see, I've seen people ask this before.
Movie.
Yeah, so Shang-Chi, if you don't know, is the master of the martial arts in Marvel Universe. Like, the ultimate fighter. It is canon that nobody is a better, just pound-for-pound fighter than he is, no matter what.
But with all due respect, I've never been in a Marvel comic before.
That is true.
I do have a first-degree black belt.
Ah, spoilers.
Yeah, I could have. I had all the classes and all the prerequisites to test for my second-degree black belt. But
I don't
before
think
that,
I knew that you had a black belt. Please
me,
don't hurt me.
Hodge I knew and Hodge Colby. Did.
Colby too.
Wait, is Colby? No, maybe it's me and Colby are both Eagles, Eagle Scouts.
But like,
Colby, when you hear this, because I'm going to forget about it, tell me, do you have a black belt also? Anyway, yeah.
Man, I'm scared of all my friends suddenly.
Oh, I'm useless.
Please don't hurt me.
The only thing I have left is that I am unable to not block when somebody tries to mess around like they're playing and like just teasing me. Like,
just reflexes.
Yeah, that's and Holly good. Hates it. Like, she's like, why do you block me? I was like, it's ingrained in me.
That's good.
I can't not block you.
Isn't that kind of like, I mean, I would argue that's maybe the most valuable thing. Like, it's defensive.
In terms of my
reflexively
life,
defensive.
I'm not trying to pick fights. So,
yeah.
It's worked out.
Which I feel like I made it to yellow belt in Taekwondo, maybe, yeah, when I was a little boy. It's gone. But I remember just the stressing of, like, we're not here to learn how to fight people or learn you're here to defend yourself, you know, so that's like a thing, right?
Sorry for derailing that with a joke.
No. Yes, Shang-Chi I learned something about you.
I'll yield to Shang-Chi.
And no one else.
Yeah.
So Shang-Chi is the ultimate fighter. He's mastered all forms of fighting and martial arts, period. You know, he will, if there's no powers involved, he's probably going to beat you. Now, Taskmaster, at least in the comics, and then they did a version of this, which is more or less the same result, at least, in the MCU, has photographic reflexes. So as long as Taskmaster can see whatever you're doing, no matter what fighting style, he can copy it perfectly. But it is a reflex, so it is a reaction too. So he has to see it first, and that does apply for in the moment, but I would argue if he was fighting, or they were fighting, because it has been now canon that it's boy and girl, if they were fighting Shang-Chi, I would say that Shang-Chi would probably win because it's a photographic reflex. Shang-Chi would be able to do it before Taskmaster sees it and would be mixing it up so quickly that maybe... That's kind of also the same way that Deadpool beat Taskmaster. Deadpool didn't even know what he was going to do next, so Taskmaster couldn't copy it. Mm-hmm. But they're also able to retain all that fighting data. So we saw some of that in the MCU, which was kind of cool. The Neo-ing matrix of Taskmaster gaining these powers was they were watching, like, the Black Panther fight and watching Steve Rogers. So you saw a lot of the fighting styles from several of the MCU characters that we've seen so far, and that's what Natasha was having to go against in the film, which was cool. It still felt a little different to me. As far as, like, the villain goes, Taskmaster didn't quite feel like the big bad as much as Dracov did, and he was more of, like, a puppeteer than anything. Again, it was fine. I did like the movie. I feel like I'm sitting here just, like, picking little things that maybe weren't.
I have a random thing. This movie, as I walked away, made me question, like, who in the MCU, like, what superpower, not, like, superpowers, I mean, like, national, like, world powers.
Mm-hmm.
And secret agencies. Who doesn't have a crazy giant ship that can just hover in air all the time? I'm jealous. Like, I want a secret place. Like, I mean, we got S.H.I.E.L.D. We got that. I mean, they even made a whole floating island happen with Sokovia. Like, there's
that was kind of one of the big reveals, right? Is the red, like, room was in the air.
It's just easy, right? Apparently, fuel isn't an issue for any of these things. Which
is incredible.
What else is up there?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense maybe for S.H.I.E.L.D. if Tony Stark... Maybe it's all just black market Tony Stark tech with the repulsor and the...
Maybe. Because this wasn't that far...
Heavy amounts of energy usage.
This was just 2014, 15, somewhere in there?
That's a good thing to talk about. This takes place right after the events of Civil War. Well... After, I don't know if it's right after.
Yeah, but I liked right, like, as soon as she made it to the safe house, they had that little thing, like, she had the blonde hair, and I was just like, okay, yeah, that's gonna happen. But then it ends up not happening because she gets attacked
right
before too long, and then you don't see her in blonde until the very end.
The very end of it, yeah,
yeah,
for sure. It was cool. Let's talk about another change that they made that was maybe the biggest change for any comic book fans that have actually read about the Red Guardian and his relationship with Natasha. So,
yeah, specifically, if you have been listening to our Black Widow 2020 coverage, they're talking about how Red Guardian was former husband to Black Widow. And then there in the very opening scenes, we see that Red Guardian is basically Black Widow and Yelena's dad.
Yeah.
And as soon as that happened, I was just like, wait, okay, so we're going that way with this.
Right. Different choice entirely, which is fine, and it worked.
No, it worked fine. Because I liked seeing, what's that guy's name?
David Harbour.
David Harbour. Like, I like Harbour. No, I said Arbor.
Yeah.
Like trees.
Mm-hmm.
I liked seeing him as a disgruntled father figure.
Yeah.
It worked for him.
Right. Yeah. He was definitely like very rough around the edges of doing the father thing, yeah, and way more in love with himself as Red Guardian and his fight with Captain America.
Captain America.
Yeah, which we should talk about. Let's just jump into that.
Well, did you finish what you wanted to talk about?
I'll wrap it up by saying it was a decision. You know, I feel like, again, in the comics, there's this rich history to play off of Natasha was married. Like, they could have played that angle.
Yeah.
Like, we've never known her to be in a relationship other than kind of Mark Ruffalo's Bruce Banner, kind of. That was more of a we're not labeling it thing, LOL. But it would have been cool to see, like, how do we play with, she's been married before, and it was this Russian Captain America, essentially. Mm-hmm. This other guy that got a version of the super soldier serum that didn't quite put him on level with Steve, but he definitely has some skills.
Yeah.
But they didn't go that direction at all. Instead, he was a bad father figure that was literally there planted by the Russians with Natasha as a child who had already gone through the Red Room program to an extent, and you know her sister Yelena was yet to go through it. But anyway, they made it work, but they MCU'd it, they took some liberties, and it's definitely not the 616 version of how Red Guardian relates to Natasha, for sure. But anyway, this was kind of some fun. We talked about this as we were leaving the theater
Walking out. I had a thought. So when Red Guardian is in the prison, and he's arm wrestling people, and he makes a comment. He's like bragging, talking about when he fought
He's living Captain America. The glory days.
Yeah. And somebody's like, when was that you fought him? And he was like, 1984, 1985. I don't do a Russian accent.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, Iron Man was still frozen in Captain America was still frozen under the ice at that point, and they just kind of move off.
He's like, he's mad. He's like, you're calling me a liar.
Yeah.
So he absolutely, I think, believes.
Yeah, but I believe it too.
Yeah.
I want to think that he did fight Captain America, because we've had conversations, I think, on the mic about this. So Steve Rogers, after he returns all the Infinity Stones back through the timeline, he stays with Peggy and grows old.
Right.
And we were like, how can Captain America not at least a time or two hop out there and help?
Right.
So what if he did? What if Red Guardian did fight Captain America? It was just old man Steve.
Right. That
was back in time.
Yeah. And maybe he wasn't quite old yet. You know, if it's in the 80s.
Yeah, he would have been still, like, because where did he stop? It was in the 60s?
70s? No, because it wasn't at World War II.
Oh, was it farther back than that?
I don't know. It kind of depends.
He also probably ages a lot slower.
Oh, he for sure does.
So by the time he got to the 80s, he might have actually looked like he was in the 50s.
Yeah, he still would have been able to handle himself.
He would have. Yeah, he could kick my butt, though I have a first-degree black belt. that was a moment I thought, and I was just like, I'm going to choose to believe that Red Guardian fought the Steve
that went back in time. Until we get told otherwise, I'm absolutely going to lean into that. It's a lot of fun to think, okay, Steve did go back to put the Infinity Stones where they belong, but he lived a life. There's no way he just sits there with his hands in his pockets for the rest of his life.
I mean, once you're a hero, how can you not be like, you can't just sit back and wait. It's like, how many times, like, I feel like that came up on Daredevil. I was watching an episode of that recently. Like, he was wanted. Like, people wanted him for some sort of crime.
Yeah.
And he was on his way to do something, and he was, like, in hiding, but somebody needed help, and he couldn't not step in and do it because he was a hero. And I mean, Captain America is even more of that hero type than Daredevil.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it's in his blood. So like, there's no way he just danced with Peggy and played
and lived
bingo
that way ever after. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a cool moment. Drew brought that to my attention. I was like, I'm absolutely choosing to believe that's canon. And again, until we get a Disney Plus, you know, one last mission, Steve Rogers show where he's putting all the stones back and they can play that card as long as they have to until the events of whatever. It's just a cool way to service some history for the Red Guardian. What did you think about Florence Pugh's role as Yelena?
Yeah, I thought the most deadpan comedy
I think
I've seen in a movie in a year and a half.
Maybe my favorite part of the whole thing was... Oh, that's funny. Yeah. As Yelena, just Florence Pugh killed it, I think.
Yeah. Oh,
I think
great.
That's a kind of a resounding thought
is,
on the internet.
Is there a chance that she's going to reprise a role in the future?
It's confirmed.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so the post-credits scene for this movie is especially meaningful if you've watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Right. Well, we knew that she was... I was thinking more of like in the Black Widow role. I forgot about the tag.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So here's what I do know is confirmed. So at the end of Black Widow post-credits, we get to see Delafontaine, whatever. It's Madame Hydra, played by... I always forget her name.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld that everybody would actually know her from. She comes up, as she did to John Walker in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and basically is recruiting her. And they have history. They know who each other are. So Florence Pugh's Yelena... By the way, this takes place in the future post-Endgame because she's at Natasha's grave.
Yes.
And she's mourning her, and then Madame Hydra walks up to her. I mean, I think that's got to be the direction they're going with her is Madame Hydra, and it's just easier for me to say.
Do you think it's going to be Secret Empire type thing?
It could be. I don't know. It could be. I also think that they're building the Thunderbolts, which is like a John Walker, kind of an anti-hero-esque team.
Okay.
But I do know for sure that Florence Pugh is confirmed to be in Hawkeye, making an appearance.
Well, it seems like she would have to after after that tag.
Right, yeah. So she's for sure going to be in that. I don't know if they're going to like lean into her and make her an even bigger character than she is. Like, she's not an insignificant character by any means in the comics, but she's definitely not like a Black Widow. But maybe she takes on that role for her sister. And I think she's a big enough name and acting. I haven't seen Midsommar, but apparently it was incredible. She also was in Little Women, which I saw, and she did a great job there. She's a big name in the acting world, and it would make sense that Marvel was like, hey,
yeah,
we loved her, the fans loved her. She had some funny movements. She was making fun of the superhero landings and the poses and calling Natasha a poser all the time. That was great. But also was just a really cool character. Like, perfect. It was like right at my level of deadpan comedy.
Yeah.
Just very matter of fact. Thought that was super awesome. There was an interesting feeling through the whole movie, though, is because you know it's like, you know what's going to happen to the character later, right? Like, she dies in Endgame.
It's not going to change.
This is a prequel. So you kind of have a preconception of how things are going to go. Like, this is more just kind of developing the character. I was curious how this film was going to, like, push Phase 4, because it's a Phase 4 film, forward. And really, I would argue it's almost like a introduce Yelena, pass off the torch a little bit kind of vibe to it, even though I'm not sure she'll fill the same role. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I'm burping. Also, I'm still holding out that maybe, without cheapening too much, there'll be some enter the Soul Stone, and maybe Natasha's still in there.
Yeah.
Who knows if we're going to see more of that character or not.
Is there any word on like whether Scarlett Johansson has interest in doing any more, or is she sick of it?
I think so. Kevin Feige was recently quoted some very vague stuff, like something like any chance we would ever have to work with Scarlett Johansson would be incredible if it presented itself. So who knows? It's comics.
Yeah.
I want there to be some sort of balance between it, the comic book rules of we can always have somebody with us by bringing them back, but also sacrifices and choices matter in the movies. So I don't know how to strike that balance perfectly, but maybe somebody at the Marvel writing team does.
Yeah.
Anything else on your end? We covered a lot on the Loki one, but I think because time travel always gets us in the weeds.
Yeah.
This one was more or less pretty straightforward.
It was a wrap up.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was good. I thought casting was good.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually surprised, at the false face reveal.
Yeah. Like, that when you found out it was his daughter.
Yeah.
For some reason, I kept thinking it was going to be Clint, like Hawkeye. I don't know why I thought that.
What are you talking about?
Taskmaster.
No, I was talking about whenever Black Widow and her mother, I'm doing air quotes for a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they had the fake mask.
Oh, yeah, the and, twist. Like
yeah,
they...
the twist. What a twist. Yeah, mm-hmm. Where she, Black Widow, was acting like she was, I can't remember the woman's name, the mother figure.
Yeah.
And getting in there, and then she, whereas the mother was wearing Black Widow's face.
Right.
In the white getup. And
yeah, they swapped faces so they could make their plan work. Yeah, that was cool. I was caught off guard by that too. They had a nice callback to the original Avengers where Natasha is interviewing Loki and he seems to have the upper hand on her, like mentally torturing her, all these things. Mm-hmm. And then he shows his hand a little bit and she just turns it off. It's like, oh, so that's your ploy.
Yeah.
Thank you for your cooperation. I think it's a direct quote. And also we get the iconic jump up, wrap legs around neck, twist, kick, signature move that Natasha has used in most of her things is pretty cool to
and
see.
Whenever we learned about the pheromone thing and she's getting punched in the face, I was like, oh, yeah, she's trying to do something where she can't smell. I didn't realize it was going to be quite so intense of her like slamming her head on the desk and severing the nerve. But I was like, oh, yeah, she's got a plan here. Otherwise, she wouldn't be just letting herself get punched in the face like that.
You know, that's something to note. I talked with Katie about this. There were more broken bones shown in this movie than I think the rest of the MCU combined. Maybe. Like, they, at one point, one of the Red Room assassins falls from a high and her legs all jacked and broken noses and the broken arms. Yeah, the arm wrestle. There are a lot of broken bones shown. Not like completely gory, but definitely like, oh, that's bending away it shouldn't.
Yeah.
Definitely noted.
This is what happens whenever you try to get into the hero game.
Yeah. Stuff starts breaking you.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I have on it. It was good. I'll for sure watch it again.
Yeah.
I'm glad it exists. I would, without thinking about it for longer than 5 seconds, put it somewhere right in the middle of the MCU movies, you know?
Before we wrap, actually, I'm going to jump over and ask about a question with the Hawkeye thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Yelena has a target, and it's Hawkeye. Do you think it's possible that they're going to actually go through with that and she's going to kill Hawkeye, which is going to allow the second Hawkeye to...
Kate Bishop to be Hawkeye?
Yeah, to take the mantle. Because Kate Bishop's in the show.
Right, confirmed. And much younger and popular and...
I mean...
It would make sense.
We've seen that they don't have a problem. Well, they don't... Not that they don't have a problem, but these heroes die.
Right.
So, I mean... I feel like people like Hawkeye. Like,
so do I.
Jeremy Renner. So like, it would be a tough call. But of course, people like Tony Stark. People like...
Right. I mean, when Tony Stark's dead, I think everything's fair game at this point.
Yeah.
I think they could. But I don't know because I don't feel like she's quite enough of an anti-hero. She's not Frank Castle, you know, going to go kill him. I don't know. I would be surprised if they kill him. That doesn't mean that we won't see a graceful handoff of Kate Bishop taking over as Hawkeye. It's comic book canon that she's better.
Just wondering if it's going to be less than graceful.
It's true. So I've also wondered before they started filming Hawkeye, they've already been filming. He was in some like real world legal controversial stuff. I don't even remember what it was. Maybe it's wrong of me to mention that and not know, but it wasn't bad enough for Disney to stop working with him, whatever it was, but it could be something where they're like, have that in the back of their mind and they're...
We're just going to kill him.
Yeah, we're going to write him out.
Hmm.
But I don't know. It does feel like if it was that serious, they wouldn't be making a Disney Plus show for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So super excited to see that one. That one's got to be pretty heavily based off Matt Fraction's run of Hawkeye, which is comic book gold. If you haven't read that, I highly recommend it. All the issues are available.
I have not read it.
Marvel Unlimited. Read it.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Well, anything else?
I feel like as soon as I hit stop, we're going to think of things, but you know, it's fine.
Go watch it if you haven't seen it yet. Sorry if I'm not sorry if we spoiled
it.
We warned you.
We warned you.
But it's worth a watch.
We will return Monday with the conclusion of the the first 5-issue run of Black Widow 2020.
Yeah.
And I don't know what we're reading after that. Do you want to tell us what we should read? Well, I can tell you what you need to do.
Ooh, nice segue.
You need to join our Discord. Link down in the show notes. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this in the Loki thing. Different podcasting apps treat it differently, to where sometimes you can just click right on it, and sometimes you actually have to find it. So,
right.
But figure it out. You know, we've got, you know, a handful of people on there now, and we had a nice chat yesterday about all kinds of stuff, comic books. It's led to me picking back up some Superman titles that I'm reading right now. So, yeah, we would love you to join our Discord. You can also give us a call. Tell us what you think you'd like to hear us read now, read next. That's give us a phone call to the two-man hotline. That's 66-2-MAN-FAN-8.
Mm-hmm. I'll laugh every time I hear that.
Yeah. I just think it's funny. It's somewhere in like Dakota. I can't remember where I got it.
Yeah.
Well, where can they find you?
You can find me on all social media platforms at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because yeah. I am Batman. Yeah. Drew, what about you?
You can find me at Drew Morris Comp on Twitter, Drew Morris Composer elsewhere. By the way, I want to, if about 2 minutes ago you heard me swallow really loud into the mic, I couldn't tell if it was just in my ears or not, so I'm sorry about that. We're releasing these episodes just raw today because we just wanted to get them out. Find the two-man accounts on Twitter at two-man comic book with the number 2, Instagram two-man comic book club. Go to our website, twomancomicbookclub.blogspot.com. There will be a Discord link that you can click on that.
Also, like us on YouTube, subscribe. These two Loki and Black Widow episodes will not be on YouTube just because we wanted to get them out, but the majority of our episodes are there, where we put up the panels, and it's just a little more interactive. Great place to check us out. And I kind of go back and forth between them sometimes if I want to listen on the car ride, but also if I want to go back and check out some of the panels. It's a great way to do that.
Yeah. And also, if you're the kind of person that likes Instagram, jump, once again, you can find us there, Two Man Comic Book Club, but we're trying to get in on that a little bit more with the Instagram Live. So one of the questions that we got, Colby asking about the comparisons between Taskmaster and Shang-Chi, that came from us going live on Instagram as we were setting up. Yep. So follow us on there, and maybe you can catch us setting things up and just interact with us a little bit there too.
Yeah, leave a review anywhere you can listen to podcasts that actually accept reviews. And if it's a 5-star review, we will read it and give you a shout out on the podcast. That really goes a long way to helping us spread our content. Above all else, I think just share it with a friend, share it with an enemy, anybody that you think has ears or doesn't, just share it with them.
Yeah.
Help spread the two-man fandom. And that's been it for us. I think we'll see you next time with the conclusion of Black Widow, and we'll be back more with more comic book stuff. See y'all later. Bye. The Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our guy in the chair is Torrance Watkins. Logos and design work are by Tessa Price. Original theme music and compositions are by Drew Morris. Who wants a Zevia Cola?
This is now an ASMR comic book podcast.
There's your tag.
All right.
Oh, that was nice. All right, you ready?
I was born ready. Was that your?
That was my throat.
I thought it was mine because I felt it.
Oh, I did too. Maybe we both throat squirted. Hey, guys, I'm Alex.
Maybe we both throat squirted.
Okay. There's the tag, too. Yeah. Tags galore.
It's just going to be like a 3-minute-long tag. Session. Like, we did that a couple episodes ago.
Yeah. Peter McKinnon style, where he just keeps going.
Yeah.